Leave me alone to the books and the radio snow. Leave me alone to the charcoal and the dancing shadow. I am a lake, don't need to be watered. I am an ocean, I don't need to barter. I play with the moon, my only friend. It pushes, it pulls me, I don't pay the rent. I don't need the walls to bury my grave. I don't need your company to feel saved. I don't need the sunlight, my curtains don't draw. I don't need the objects to keep or to pawn. I don't want your pity, concern or your scorn. I'm calm by my lonesome, I feel right at home. And when the wind blows, I get to dancing. My fun is the rhythm of air when it's prancing. I play with the moon, my only friend. It pushes, it pulls me, I don't pay rent. I don't need the walls to bury my grave. I don't need your company to feel saved. I don't need the sunlight, my curtains don't draw. I don't need objects to keep or to pawn. I don't want your pity, concern or your scorn. I'm calm by my lonesome, I feel right at home. Leave me alone to the books and the radio snow. Leave me alone to the charcoal and the dancing shadow.
Thank you. sound of love's marching band, and how they hold you like a gun, and how I sing you like a song I heard when I was young and buried for a night like this.
Good, everybody. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Black Casper. I'm the host of today's show, Transistor Radio, which is, you know, the show about everything trans, basically. And today I have a special guest with me in the studio. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay, so my guest is, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'll do it, of course. My name is Sloane Couchon. I'm a stand-up comedian and producer of the Zaddy Comedy Show in Montreal.
That's it?
I'm a Virgo ascending Scorpio.
Do not ask queers to introduce themselves. They will give you their whole birth chart, as if that means anything, you know?
Trying to be authentic, you know?
But yeah, so today we're going to talk about trans stuff like we do every episode. There's no special topic for today. I've been doing like special topics on the other episodes, and it was very depressing. So I figured that this month's topic could be just funny stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I did like an episode about like Palestine, and then I did an episode about the Comité des Sages.
Fun.
You know, yeah, the Comité des Sages. Yeah. If y'all don't know, it's a committee where cis people are paid $100,000 per year to talk about trans issues.
I do it.
It's kind of crazy.
And I'm trans. How does that make sense?
I know, but like you can't get that job because you're trans. You have to be cis in order to qualify. That's the thing.
To be paid to pay.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Exactly. So we're going to be talking about some funny stuff. I don't know what funny stuff. I haven't decided yet, but we're gonna figure it out because we always figure it out. Listen, today was a day, okay? I was like on time for the show and stuff, and I got to the metro, and then I realized I didn't have my wallet, and so then I had to take an Uber. So I'm $15 poorer than I was 30 minutes ago, and I'm a bit pissed about that, okay? But it's okay. Just because I had metro problem doesn't mean the rest of the day has to be like that, right?
Yeah, the rest of the day will be more bright. I have funny stories, actually. Yesterday, I was at the Comedy Nest on Wednesday. I finally made it, y'all, on the Wednesday. I was really, for me, it was a big deal. I know that, like, a lot of comics maybe don't take it as seriously, or for them, it's just another gig. But for me, it was, like, such a big deal, and I made sure to tell my mom and my sister to bring out like the entire neighborhood. Like, really, I was like, the people from Post Canada at Laval des Rapides, like anybody. I just want bodies. I just want the club to know that like I can bring people. And it's like, which is like, it was funny because I was like, there were the people that were laughing the most, and I was like, oh, like, it's awesome. They're having a great time. They're people that I love. I thought it was amazing. And I do, and it was like a, it's a joke contest. So they give you like your topic a few days in advance. It was like, anyone remember this? And I was like, oh, that limits me, because it's going to be either like, let me bitch about like VHS tapes, or let me bitch about nostalgic stuff, or like back in the day, you know, stuff, or it's going to be pandemic stuff. So I went from, I went classic, I went pandemic. Which rhymes, by the way. It will be soon printed on all merches for the comedy show. And I made this joke about like social distancing was kind of a great idea and a great concept of like people respecting your private space and like not being in your face. I made it more, I'm sounding super serious, but I made it like more funny and like lovely. And this had to be fit in like the usual five.
So it was a, explain the concept of the joke contest and stuff.
So that's the thing. So it's like within your 5 minutes, you have to have a joke that is up for to be evaluated by an impartial one person jury in the sound room. And you just tap, you ring a bell, and when you are about to say the joke, and that's the joke that you're like.
You ring a bell?
Yeah, so that people know that that's the joke you're submitting for the contest. And then they pick the three, I know, and then they pick the three best, and then the audience will pick out of the three best, but I thought everybody was voting. That's why I brought everybody out from La Val-de-Rapienne and Boucherville. Like, I was like, I was like, vote for me. It's a big deal, you know? And they were like, we didn't get to vote. I'm like, and I was in top three, but it's fine. It was, you win $20. You know, and it's like,
listen, that's a big deal, $20. Okay,
yeah, it's your,
in
it's
this
your,
economy,
it's your, it could have
get you a
your,
whole Big Mac.
It could have covered your Uber, actually. If oh I had God. One, I would have given to you, but yeah, so I did my whole set. I'm like super proud. It was the first time that I had a structure, because I listened to your advice, right? I had a structure, I had one liners, I had jokes, or jokes, I rehearsed it, I performed it perfectly, and then I'm like, I have this high of like, I just did something great. And I walk off stage, and this man, this cis white man, just rises from the shadows like, can I talk to you?
Well, that's scary.
Can you all not lower your voices when you talk to trans people like that? Am I getting abducted? And my friend, I'm so naive, because I was from, I just had a high of like, everybody loves me. So my first thought was like, oh, maybe it's JFL. Like, you know those kids that like, you tell them like, if there's a weird man in a van and offers you candy, don't follow him. Me, it's like, if there's a man that says he wants to work with you, don't follow him in an alley. You know what I mean? Like, that's, if you want to get me into your van and duck me, just promise me a gig. You know what I mean? I'll follow you. So I'm just like, and I brought him to the green room, because I'm like, yes, I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's working here. I don't know if he's offended. I don't know if it's JFL or Netflix. I don't know. Maybe Americans, you know.
Did you make offensive jokes?
No, but I didn't know why he was so serious and not smiling. And then I bring him to the green room, and he's like, is it okay for us to talk here? And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I want witnesses. Like, what the fuck? Like,
that sounds like it's the police, you know?
Like, yeah, and I'm like,
randomly checked or
and I'm like
shit.
The only trans person in the entire lineup. So I get very, like, my guard is up. But it was, I don't know, it was just a dude that was just like, I have a publication, call me tomorrow morning, here's my business card. And the business card is literally a play card, like a four of ace. And he sharpied his phone number. And
that's a business card.
That's a business card for some of us that can't print them. But it's like the publication, everybody was like, can you please, like, that guy was weird all night. Can you not follow him anywhere? I'll come with you. But like, what kind of, what does he want? And he just wants me to write for a publication that had just been born. So I was kind of like, I don't know, the more I asked people their thought, the more I was like, I feel like I'm about to play the main character in like the movie Taken.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's just, it was really funny, because people were like, that was weird. And then he left. He was like, I saw what I needed to see. And just left.
Listen, people like that, it's one of two choices. It's either they're going to kill you, or they're really, 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 really rich.
No, like the no. I saw the LinkedIn, and I'm like, it's so terrifying.
No, but I mean, you know, like if somebody comes into like, for example, A&Rs for record labels, they go, they see you perform one song and they're like, I've seen what I needed to see, you know?
I'll show you the LinkedIn after. You tell me if that's A&R.
It doesn't sound like it, but like I said, it's one of those two choices. And if it's not an A&R, don't get killed, yo.
Yeah, like I mean, if it was like I have a gig somewhere and like a cottage, I'd be like, okay, maybe. But publication, I'm like, I'm not gonna kill myself for something that's not even my art. You know what I mean? But it was weird.
What would you write about?
That's the thing. It's not clear. Like I read, it's very ChatGPT. Like it's not clear. He's a strategist.
A strategist that has a publication.
Yes.
He's gonna. What if he's listening to the radio right now?
I was thinking about that. What if I'm stalked?
To a small little community radio where we did not announce you as a guest because that's how prepared we are. Because we don't announce anything anywhere. This is a secret show.
Actually,
you know that?
I've never announced.
Sometimes I post about it in my Instagram story. Other times I don't because you know.
I like.
I have my reasons. I'm a very private person. It's a secret. If you're listening to this show, you're a VIP.
Yes, only you were aware that exactly. This show, exclusive underground show, underground show is happening. Yeah,
it's a secret underground show. When I get permanent residency, we'll promote it more.
did my take-in story break the ice for today?
It did. But yeah. Oh, okay. Let's. I have a cool topic because
I love that I'm like breaking the ice, and then you're like, I have a topic now that you gave me this trash topic. I have a
no. There's something that I was not sure if I wanted to talk about this month because it's Black History Month, and I didn't want to do another depressing episode.
Oh.
But let's talk about something depressing, shall we?
I bring the mood.
So I had a show this past, was it Saturday? No, it was Friday.
It was Friday.
Okay. It was a show that was like a private show, okay? So like nobody announced it. Like it was people were just invited, okay? For the launch of this like literary collection. So like, you know, like I don't know. Literary correction, that sounds fancy to me, you know, but so it was people who read, okay?
I'm sorry.
Not the queer type of read, okay? Not the Drag Race reading is fundamental. No. It was people who read books, yeah. Okay? So already it was people who have time to read books, which is not me. I don't have time to read books. I stopped dyslexic. At Harry Potter and the Hunger Games. That's how, as far as I went.
I didn't get that far. I'm too dyslexic to read books. Just.
I listen to audiobooks sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
And I
that's
fall asleep.
That's not reading,
after,
that's listening.
And I fall asleep after 5 minutes. So am I really listening? I don't know. I'm like, I started listening to this audiobook and I got to the third chapter after like 3 weeks of listening to it, and then I just gave up because I'm like, I just fall asleep, what's the point? But anyways,
we were at an event.
It was a launch for a literary collection, and it was a trans event. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you were there, now you know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's not 1,000 trans events about literary stuff. Okay. I don't even know if literary is that how you say it. Anyways,
it sounds fancy, let's just say
literary.
So
it was, yeah, so I was performing at that event, right? So at first, before I performed, like, the whole thing is, at first I had to, like, give a little speech as an artist, okay? To, like, introduce myself as an artist, like, without the Black Casper mask, okay? And then I had to come back, like, 20 minutes later to do a Black Casper performance. So in case you don't know, when I perform as Black Casper, I have, like, this, like, black stripe of paint over my eyes, basically. Like, it looks like the Zorro's mask, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so before I didn't, you know, so in between the two moments, I did my makeup. But so first, like, I went to, like, describe my art, basically, and I talked about the fact that, like, I draw a lot of black people. I mostly draw black people because you know, I'm Afro-descendant, and so for me, representation is important and stuff. So, yeah, and then I talked about how, you know, it's Black History Month, and in the trans community, there's a lot of racism, and there's a lot of division between white trans people and black trans people, because white trans people have this tendency of being like, oh, I'm trans, I'm marginalized, therefore I can be racist. They don't say it like that. The way that they actually say it is, oh, I don't have the spoons. Oh, put a trigger warning. I don't want to talk about racism. I'm too anxious. I'm a tender queer, you know? Those type of people.
There's a lot to unpack there, but go on.
But listen, that's also kind of what the crowd was, you know what I mean? So, it's not my type of crowd, believe it or not. That crowd usually does not like what I have to say because I do not sugarcoat stuff. So I was very much like, nah, white trans people, stop being racist. It's Black History Month, basically.
Yeah.
And then while I'm doing my makeup, there's two white people who do like some poems, you know? So like fancy white people shit, you know? It's basically rapping without the flow and without the music. What I'm doing is more complicated. It has layers, all right? So I come back and I start my performance. I'm introduced and stuff. And mind you, they're introducing me like, oh, Black Casper, top 100, like, and most influential people in the music industry based on Billboard, which is all real shit, okay? It's all real shit. My CV is... my resume is heavy, okay? Yeah. It's heavy. That's why I go to the gym every day. Because, oof, heavy. Anyways, heavy is the head that bears the crown. Why is my name king? We all wonder. It was given to me, by the way. I did not choose it. Anyways, so they introduced me like, oh, you know, like top 100 most influential people in the person in the music industry, like founded the first record label for trans people and stuff. Listen, the accomplishments that if anybody else would have been there and... you know, somebody is like, oh, a trans person has done this, and this. And they're all like, oh, wow, it's so great. But I pull up and they say that. And it's like, I hear somebody, though, that's like, oh, wow, like in the crowd, like when, you know, when my accomplishments are listed. And then I get on stage. And these white people, they turn around and they start talking. Like, straight up, having conversations with their back turns, and they're right in front of me as I'm performing.
And they were really loud, too.
They were really loud. It was just like a lack of respect in a way that I have never in my life seen a most disrespectful crowd. Like, if my music is not your vibe, which would be a damn lie because the first song I performed was very much like pop Afrobeat, like very catchy song, which is what those white people listen to at home. You know, they love Black music when it comes from mainstream rich Black people who are cis and straight, but when it comes from the queers, you know what I mean?
And so
they're just like, and even if it's not. Even if it's not your vibe, like I've been at so many shows where the music is not my vibe, where the spoken word about like how hard it is to be a white trans person, it's not my vibe, you know? I don't relate to that. It bores me, to be quite honest. But I'm respectful, so I'm going to sit there, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to clap at the end, you know? Because this is what I do. And these little TQs...
Oh, tender queers. Sorry, I'm dyslexic. It took me a while.
Listen. This is like the TQs. So they were just like, just so disrespectful in a way that's so... It was... I've never... And listen, I performed at Soho House, okay? In front of a room full of influencers.
Yeah.
And they were not as disrespectful as this crowd. And I'm like, this was a bunch of trans people who are supposed to be lifting up the trans community but that's something I've heard before. I've had white trans people straight up tell me like, your music is too aggressive, so we're not gonna support you.
Hold up. How is your music aggressive?
Because it's Black. There's 808 in it. And some rolling hi-hats and stuff like that, you know?
Your music is so not aggressive. It's actually really sweet.
The definition of aggression for those people is...
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But to be honest, like, I was there at the event. Like, I came to support you. And, like, the whole time, like, before you're up to your performance, and then we saw the actual disrespect, it was a weird vibe. Yeah. Like, I felt very POC. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm... very white passing, I have privileges and all that. But when I get into a place and I see that people are just not looking at me, not acknowledging my presence, I smile, they look away, I'm like, oh, where am I? Like, I never get that uncomfortable unless it's like a really like hostile environment, and it just felt so hostile.
Yeah.
Like, so hostile. I was in everybody's way. I think, honestly, like, it didn't surprise me the way that they reacted. The extent of the disrespect surprised me. But just because of that vibe of, like, oh, it's felt like a very whites-only event. Like, it just, that was the vibe.
But the thing is, like, they're reading a bunch of books about what it's like to be a trans POC, you know what I mean?
But they like to, I think...
They like
like the idea of marginalization, that there's other people suffering more than them. But for them, I feel like in a book it's fiction, and they can still consume like our material and content, but still feel like they're the victim in their own story. And when they're faced with that, when they see someone that has made it, that has more struggles than them, it's like holding a mirror to themselves and be like, what the hell are you doing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
But to me, it's like, and it's not all white queer people, but it's just, there's a lot of performance, especially now with what's happening in the world. There's a lot of people that post about stuff that's happening in the world, and I know that they don't give a fuck. And I'm just like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, what does that bring you?
Or the ones who don't post about it, the queer liberals who are... You know what? I saw a definition. It's like, what does it mean to be a liberal? It means that you are against genocide, except for the one that's currently happening.
Oh.
It means that you fight for human rights, except for the human rights we're fighting for currently.
Wow. That's a thinker.
Do you think all of those white liberals who are against the ceasefire in Palestine, do you think that those people would be quoting Martin Luther King if they were living at the same period as him?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Do you think they would be fighting for human rights, for like the civil rights in America? Do you think they would be fighting against slavery? Do you think they would be fighting against all of that? No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Exactly. And for me, that's kind of what's wild, is because it's when they teach you that stuff at school, it's like, oh, of course I'm against that. But then when it happens in actual life and in reality, it's like,
Yeah, they're nowhere to be found. They're not showing up for human rights.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah. And even like, because a lot of people give that excuse that like, oh, the spoons, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have the spoons. And I'm like, okay. But then it's like, but then you don't even show up for artists. You don't even show up for your own community that is BIPOC, like at the trans event that we were at. Or like in comedy, like I am 3 years in. Mm-hmm. I'm a baby. Let's just face it. I'm a baby. For me, the things that I've accomplished so far, I never thought I would accomplish them in 10. Like, I thought it would be like 10 years down the line. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's how long it takes usually. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, to some extent, my first year, tokenism got me places and got me paychecks. And I took that money and I put it in a bank. Okay. Like, I earned it no matter how tokenism I was.
Reparations, right?
Yeah, really. And then, but then it was like, oh, I wasn't visibly queer anymore. I wasn't visibly trans anymore. Now I pass. Not only do I pass, I pass for what people usually profile as a terrorist.
Right.
And then the racism came. That's the thing. Already there, but then it was more in my face. And it was more like, oh no, we don't want you on our lineup. Or I would ask and people would, I'm asking queer people, queer and trans white people to be on their lineup for a show that is local, very indie, doesn't have a huge following, let's be honest, besides in the community. Mm-mm. And they're acting like they're the Nest or JFL. Oh, I'm booked for the year. Oh, I have so many requests. And I'm like, how many queers are we?
Yeah, how many trans comics? How many trans masculine comics?
How many trans comics? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And it just felt like this white-only queer club, you know? Like, it makes me laugh because it's like, I'm polarizing and controversial, apparently. which I'm like the nicest. Like, I'm really, I kill myself trying to make other BIPOC artists, like, successful. Like, when I send, like, we did the Zaddy Comedy Show, that tape, I sent it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Anybody who would want to listen, I don't audition with only my tape. I'm like, oh, by the way, if you like me, take a look at everybody else behind me, because I want to help, because I care, because my friends mean a lot to me, because I believe in the comics that I book. Mm-hmm. It's not, the show is never about me. It's about the collective. It's about solidarity and community and something that those values that I really believe in. And then I have people that are like, oh, we don't like Sloan because so and so. And it's like, it's all, I only piss off white people. What does that tell
you? Right. It's always what the same type you? Of people who are.
What does that tell you? No, answer me this.
I know, right? It's what like does that when tell you see the people who are people. Hating on you and you look at their social media pages, they don't have a single POC friend. Exactly. They don't have a single person of color. Like, whenever I see like the behind the scenes, there's never a single person of color on the shoot. And then when you see us and our lives, when you go to my set, it's the white people who are a minority. It's we're lucky if there's one white person on the shoot. You know what I mean? And it's like, but there's also like, okay, so let's talk about this for real, like, because we both know what it's like, because we both pass as Middle Eastern cis straight boys, okay? And I'm saying boys because we both look like we're 17, even though we're both in our 30s now.
That is true. Which explained the man that gave me his card yesterday.
Listen, CapCut cut me out of their application because they say I'm underage. The limit is 14 years old. And I was like, okay, I'll take it.
That should be in your set. That's gold.
You're
too underage for CapCut.
That's crazy. But let's talk about like the reality of being a racialized trans masculine person. That's on hormones, okay?
It's so much fun. I recommend.
That reality of like, that's the thing where I've had trans guys before who are trans guys of color, and they're, you know, not yet on T, and they come to me and they're like, I'm scared to get on testosterone because I know that once I get on testosterone, people are not going to accept me into queer spaces anymore because I know that my friends are not going to be my friends anymore because people are going to see me like the enemy, right?
Yeah.
Because that's also a thing. It doesn't happen as much to white trans men, right? Because white trans men transition to be white men. And white men find space wherever they want to find space. They will find it. It will be given to them, no matter if they're cis or trans. You know what I mean? When you're a trans man of color, it's quite different because then you get into the territory where your masculinity becomes a threat, right? You look like a terrorist. You look like somebody who's about to start shit. And so people actually oppress you and, you know, marginalize you based on your gender identity. That is being a man, right? That is being masculine. And it's a very, like, interesting thing because I remember when I started testosterone was 2014. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. 10 years ago now. 2014. And I remember back then on YouTube, like, the only example that we had was white trans men. Yeah. And I had this idea that, like, yo, I'm going to start testosterone and I make music, right? People are going to start booking me. People are going to start laughing at my jokes. I'm going to make money. I'm going to stay booked. Like, whew, it's going to be good. And then I transition and the only perk is that now I get followed in the dollar store because they think I'm about to steal some like $1 stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I get followed everywhere. Yeah. I get randomly checked everywhere. I get like the way that I get treated compared to before I started taking hormones is ridiculous. And even in queer communities, like that show, I get treated like I don't belong. Like I'm a cis straight man. And it's like, bro, I'm not, first of all, I identify as non-binary, even though I don't talk about it much because for me, it's a very private thing. You know, it's like, it's very, I don't know. It's a very intimate thing. People call me a man, call me a trans man. I don't give a, you know what I mean? Because whatever it's, I know that I'm perceived in the world as a man. And so for me, I identify my, you know, any, it's complicated. But people in the queer community really be treating me like I'm not queer, like I don't belong in spaces. Like I've been told straight up, like, spaces for non-binary people, I'm not welcome in it. And I'm like, I'm non-binary. And like, I'm not even that straight. Like, I'm non-binary, so first of all, I'm both straight and gay at the same time, and also, like, I'm married to a trans woman. I'm a trans person married to another trans person. What's more queer than that?
Yeah.
It's, you Absolutely. Know, and for me, the fact that there's no representation, and there's no representation of masculine, trans masculine people of color, even though, like, a lot of us have done incredible things in our career, it's very hard to get the respect that we're owed. And it's not me being arrogant. When I said that I'm walking into a space as a musician and a music executive and an artist and I want respect, it's because I've been working on my craft for 15 years. I'm not somebody that's just stepping into the space and I had my first paid gig yesterday. No, I've performed in front of festival crowds and of more than 10,000 people. I've headlined shows. I've had my music in a movie, in commercials, in all of that. Like, I've done a lot of things that artists do, right? And I have a bunch of streams on Spotify. Like, all of my work speaks for itself. So why is it that when I step into a place, people treat me like I'm an amateur? I am not. I do this shit full time. Like,
but then they treat people that have less experience than you, but just because they're white, as like the most genius person that they ever met.
And that bothers me. And I'm not saying that everybody should get on their knees when I walk in the room, because that would make me feel hella uncomfortable.
That's all.
I'm autistic. I don't like that much attention. I just want to be treated like, I just want to be treated like I'm not a child.
Yeah.
I just want to be treated like, I'm coming
like a human being.
I'm coming into your space.
I'm sorry, you were not treated like a human being at that event. And
no.
Afterwards, like, just to get the attention of everybody, to say something and, like, sensibilize them or whatever the word is to the situation, we were talking really loud about racism and things like that and how we were treated. And everybody was around. Everybody at the event was around us and nobody gave any
fucks. People don't care.
People didn't give
any
eye contact. It's not even like, for me, that event was strange as well, because, like, I'm seeing a friend of mine get treated that way. I also felt the sense of it, like, but it was more than just respect. It was like we were not even regarded as human beings.
Yeah, that's how I
to
felt.
Us, for me, it was worse than that.
It's a humiliation that's so deep.
Yeah.
Because I've performed in front of a bunch of people, and when I say that, like, I've never been disrespected like that, I have performed in front of transphobes that when people are like, oh, Black Casper, trans artist, they're like, ew. Like, I've heard ew when my name was called. And I went on stage, and by the end of my set, those people were dancing on stage with me.
Wow.
Because, and that's why I'm telling you, the music was not, it's not, my music is good, okay? And I will stand on that hill, and I will die on that hill. I sound like I have auto-tune on my voice already. I don't need to do nothing to my voice. And listen, people pay a lot of money to sound like me, okay? They buy a lot of plugins and stuff.
No, you're a true artist.
No,
but
like,
I wanted to go back to, like, the how people react differently when you go to the same places. Like, I'm gonna be super honest. Like, I miss my bushy beard. You know, I know that it made me look very, very scary. It was very long. It was getting too long. I didn't want to cut it. It was very bushy. It was very aggressive. It had more hair on my chin than my own head. And it was just like I just loved it so much. For me, it was like waving in the wind. It was like, you know, it's my trans flag, you know? And I had to recently shave it because I felt like I just wanted to get milk without getting checked. Do you know what I mean? Like, the same fucking grocery store I've gone through, like, for a year. All of a sudden, I just went to see if they had, like, those, like, prepared meals or whatever, because I'm lazy as fuck. And I just went. I didn't find anything. I'm on my way out, and it's like, did you pay? I don't even have bags. I don't even have a backpack that I could conceal something. And I just looked at him and I was just like, I just want to go home.
Did you pay for your space in society though?
Did I pay my race tax? No, but like, seriously, I just didn't know how to, it was so late that I just looked at him. I want to go home. And he thought I was insane. He's like, did you pay though? I was like, do you really want to do this right now? I want to go home. I didn't buy anything. What part of that don't you understand? Like, and it's just, now I can't entirely always beeps for some reason. Like, it just started beeping. Shush, we're going to go after the show. I will show you that every time now I go, I can't even tire, Alex Signor, it beeps. And it's like, and they thoroughly check you. It's humiliating. Mm, and you have that big security guard that just comes in with this like threatening look. And you're like, hey, nothing is going on. And it's like they look at everything. Like, what if I had a dildo in my bag? I am queer. Like,
maybe that's what we should start doing. We should just start carrying dildos everywhere.
Yeah, let's embarrass them. I will carry my sex toys just in case I get searched. I'm like, this is probably what beeped. Do you want to hold it and like wank it in front of the little...
Oh my God. Listen.
Detectors.
And for me, I think the worst part is that, you know, I'm very light skinned, okay? So I'm like very racially ambiguous.
Yeah.
So people never know where I'm from.
Yeah.
So if I'm in Montreal Nord, people will speak to me in Arabic. If I'm next to Jean Talon, they will speak to me in Spanish. If I go to like any places where there's like indigenous people, they will start like talking to me like I'm one of their child or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the curse of being racially ambiguous. And it's, but it's also like the thing where, you know, white people love to talk about colorism. Because they love to talk about, yeah, they love to talk about POC issues. Like, I've seen them on Twitter all the time being like, oh, colorism. Black people are like dark-skinned people versus light-skinned people and all of this stuff. And I'm like, you're not even capable of, like, you don't even treat light-skinned people good. Like, I'm so light-skinned and you don't treat me good. I'm like, at least, you know, at least treat me like I'm close to whiteness or some stuff, you know what I mean?
It reminds me of when we were talking about the expression white passing. It just, some, it's controversial, but it just, I don't feel like I also pass as white. I'm always somewhere in North Africa or Middle East, which is closer than, you know. So it's like I used to say, like, I had a joke that I stopped doing for some reason. I was like, I don't think that I'm white passing. And then people get, immediately white people will get offended when I say that. And then I'll go, because it has a point. The second layer of the joke is like, because the white guesses that I get is Syrian, Iraq, Afghanistan, Algerian, and then Ukraine was like the most recent one.
Ukraine.
So I was like.
Ukrainians blonde with blue eyes though?
But I sure. So many people were like, are you Ukrainian? And I was like, because that's my joke, though. That's the punchline. It's like, I pass as a political refugee. So now I'm just waiting for someone thinking that I'm Palestinian. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, as any time that there's a crisis in the world, in the Middle East, people are like, oh, est-ce que vous êtes réfugié? And I'm like, no, bitch, I'm from France. Like, I'm not even, I mean, I'm like.
Quoique, je suis un réfugié de la France, hein.
I'm la réfugié France, from Laval.
Sorry.
You know, je suis réfugié de Laval. Là.
Listen, you have to. Refugee from Laval, I'm dead. Oh my God. No, but like, yo, it's real, real stuff. But no, if you want to know whether or not you're actually white passing, just go to a queer event. See how many people say hi to you.
Great callback. No, but seriously, like, I think my career really took off recently. I was on the Kasus Comedy Show. It was absolutely amazing. I'm back next week. Come check it out. Last show of the season on Tuesday. And then I did Comedy in the Nest yesterday. I have a lot of open mics that just welcome me with open arms, like, right away. And those are straight cis places that are like, absolutely.
Yes, it's
absolutely.
That's
come
the
on
thing,
my
if
show.
You want,
I will give you a spot, and then it's like they, you know, it's like everybody's so open arms. People at the Nest were so sweet every single time. I'm like, this is the safest place. Mm-hmm. People are so sweet. Mm-hmm. Comics that are established go there, and they are so sweet. Everybody's so lovely. Like, oh my God, you did so well. People come after, and they're like, the employees are like, oh my God, you did so well. You like grew and everything, and it makes you feel fuzzy on the inside. I don't get that love in queer spaces.
Definitely not.
I don't get that loving on queer shows. Mm-mm. I don't get that love on trans shows.
Mm-mm.
At all. Unless it's BIPOC, I will never get that love.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, it's like, it just makes me so sad that it's like always a lineup. Queer and trans shows tend to be a queer lineup of 7 to 8 white comics and then one diversity or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, and they put us by like it's color coded. So it's like it's all the white people.
They don't want to be canceled.
No, because it's like all the white people. And then it's me because I'm a little less white. And then somebody a little bit colored than me. And I'm like, why are you color coding your show? Like, it's weird. Don't put us side by side. Like, we don't have.
Dégradé.
It's like, I'm a dégradé de couleur. And it's like really weird. And I'm just, I don't feel safe in queer spaces. I never thought I would say that out
loud. Like,
I don't feel safe at
all.
A
lot of those producers, when they book, like, a lot of people who put these shows together, like, I've talked to a few of them, and every single one was like, oh, I don't want to get canceled. Like, that's the thing that comes back
canceled
so much.
What?
Like, I don't want to be canceled. I don't want to be canceled. I don't want to be canceled. So, no, that's why they book one POC, because they don't want to be canceled. And I'm like, if you're so worried about being canceled,
you should be canceled.
Because if you know that you're not doing anything wrong, then why are you so worried?
Yeah.
Why are you so worried?
Absolutely.
Because, for example, like, I'm dropping a song. I should play it, actually.
But it's like, but that's the thing.
It's be very depressing.
But that's the thing that pisses me off about it's tokenism, right? I'm on the lineup because they don't want to get canceled.
Exactly. And then it's like, but then it's like people like us, like, for example, like when you talk about like everything about Palestine and everything, you know? How, like, so many artists and so many people in the white trans community are very silent about it. Some people were even complaining at the trans march that there was Palestinian flags, you know, and so it's like you're worried of being canceled, and you're not going to get, if you're a white person and you do an all white show, you're not going to get canceled. That's the worst
That's
part
just
about it.
A comedy like, show. Like, at this point,
it's just a regular comedy show.
It's just regular.
But like, why are you so scared of being canceled when you have all this privilege? Because like, let's be honest, I'm looking at myself compared to those people, and like, they have, you know, nationality, they have stability, they have all of that. Like, they're okay. You're still poor, but you can be poor and have privilege in other areas, you know?
Yeah.
And you have all of that privilege and you're so worried of being canceled. And meanwhile, people who don't have privilege and who actually are at risk of being canceled are speaking about the things that could get them canceled, which is talking about Palestine, talking about Black Lives Matter, being somebody that's very vocal about those issues when you're already marginalized. That's what's going to get you canceled. If you're like a white person and you're so worried that you're going to get canceled because you're organizing a comedy show and stuff, like, you probably should be canceled because... Yeah, like, I'm just, for me, like, I have respect for people who actually put their livelihood and their life on the line. Like, yeah, I get that you have to protect yourself, but, like, put your privilege on the line. You know what I mean? If you're a white trans person, it's your job to speak about the issues that people of color, like, trans people of color, when they speak about, they are at risk of, like, losing their job and stuff, like Palestine. It is your job to use that privilege and use the platform that you have to speak about people who are less privileged than you. And the thing is, like, they don't do that because they also don't want to, like, you know, That's my theory. I have a lot of theories, but my theory about why white trans people do not speak about Palestine, okay, is because a lot of them have put themselves in this place where they're victims, right? Everybody is against trans people. My life is in danger. Like, they're at trans marches with their hands up being like, don't shoot, don't kill us. And I'm like, nobody's killing you in the first place. But you know what I mean? And they don't want to talk about Palestine because people in Palestine are actually going through it. And so to talk about people who are actually going through it would be to admit that you good. Yeah. Nobody is killing you. You good. Like, yes, trans people are under attack. Yes, there's trans laws and it's terrifying. But you're not, like, you are still good. You're breathing. You're alive. You're eating. You have a roof over your head. Those are things that Palestinian people don't even have right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so for me, it's like people who are silent when oppression happens to people who are not them is just so hypocritical to me. So hypocritical. And the fact that they're like, oh, I don't have the spoons to talk about Palestine. Oh, it makes me so anxious. Oh, I don't want to see all of that. Like, I don't want to see all those videos of people getting killed on my timeline. Well, I don't care. I'm going to show you those videos until you speak about it and until you call for a ceasefire. Because why are you so fucking silent? Like, it baffles me. How dare you go in the street and protest for trans rights, but when it's Palestinians dying, you don't care. And you were like, oh, but you know what? Palestinians wouldn't help you if you were queer. Oh, queer Palestinians exist. Trans Palestinians exist. Like, it's such a racist statement, but all the excuses that they have is, you should be canceled.
Yeah.
That it just
but
bothers
it reminds
me.
What you say, I think, resonated so true for me. Just not just about Palestine, but like for Iran, it's mm-hmm. First of all, the Iranian revolution is still ongoing. There's still mass execution every day. Still children being like gassed in their primary schools and stuff like that. I spoke about it, got shadow banned. It was very draining. But I did it because I had to, and I just believed in it. But what I'm going to say is about all the white folks, the trans community, that texted me during that time because I was posting about it. I was saying, I'm hurt. My family's in there. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't understand why horrors like that are happening and nobody's talking about it. And it was the same fucking thing. I don't have the spoons. And then get this. The best part was someone in the community who thought they would just, like, help their Persian friend was like, oh, we can't, I know things are going like really rough for you right now. I'll just invite you over and I'll give you a haircut and like we can just chill. And I was so naive. I was like, oh, cool. Like you actually see me as a human being and you want to like hang out. Mm-hmm. That person is the most problematic person now. Very racist jokes that only cater to white people. And that's the person that's like hating me the most right now. And I'm like, you gave me a haircut during a genocide in my country, and you call yourself a human rights activist based on that. Je comprends pas. Like, can you explain?
At least that's something. It's a haircut. Most of that
it was,
is nothing.
I had 5 scars around my neck because they don't know how to cut.
Okay. Well, never mind. Maybe it was an assassination attempt.
Pay for my barber,
but that's also the
on
thing.
St. Catherine, and I'll get a good haircut. No, but I'm saying, like, it was kind of like, for me, it felt like, it felt performative. At the time, I didn't see it as performative. It's like, oh, my friend is like trying to really cater to like my needs. That person ghosted me for 2 years. That person was like, I give an Iranian a haircut. Hashtag, I'm not racist.
Do you find, okay, that's a question, but something maybe I've noticed, but when there's violence in the Middle East and it's, you know, not white people involved, like, on the surface, because white people are always involved. they're kind of at the origin of everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The origin of chaos. But when, for example, like the Iranian revolution, where it's like people, like Iranian people killing other Iranians, do you feel like people speak out more than when it's Israeli people, like white people killing Palestinians? Because I feel like people, when there's like violence in the Middle East and like the, you know, there will be like, oh, look, women's rights, oh, LGBT rights, oh, look, they're horrible, oh, look at what they're doing to their own people, na, 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 na. And when it's Israel doing the same thing, it's like, oh, no, but it's okay.
That's a very good question. I think, in our fairness, for Iranians to get the word out there was extremely difficult because it was within our own country and it's a dictatorship government just squashing freedom. Mm-hmm. I think it was really hard to get the message out there. I think it did because of all the people that got out and protested. There's a lot of protests that happened every single week and still does in Montreal. I think in Europe it was bigger. Mm-hmm. Like Berlin was like massive.
But do you feel like white people have more? For
I'm
example,
still answering
let's say
the question.
Like, we have like 3 minutes left.
Oh my god,
so
the
you
biggest
have to
question
the
from
question.
The end.
Okay. Exactly, I just set you up right there.
Oh my god, hashtag cancel Sloan. No, I'm just kidding. No, but like, so it was hard to get the word out there. I think I'll answer it like this. What bugs me about the whole Palestine and Israel and nowadays is people are talking about it like it never happened before. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it was harder for people to take a side just because probably not pick a side, but talk about it. Sorry. Because if they talk for Palestine, then they're accused of being, they think they're going to be accused of anti-Semitism. And we won't have time to get into that. But I think the conflict between Israel and Palestine has gone for so long unheard.
I wouldn't really call it a conflict, to be quite honest.
It's not a conflict. It's a massive
apartheid,
it's genocide,
illegal occupation, it's genocide. It's very one-sided.
Yeah, and it's like now people are talking about it. It bugs me that they're not acknowledging that they were voluntarily ignoring it all this time. Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, in one sentence, like a TikTok soundbite, okay?
My God. Why do we TikTok have to end on, like, the biggest story?
Do you feel, as a person of color,
oh God,
that white people have more empathy towards you when you're getting attacked by people of color than when you're getting attacked by white people?
I've never been in that situation.
But it's not you personally. Like,
okay,
as people of color, let me rethink that question properly.
Can I reframe it?
Okay, go ahead.
Can I reframe it? In a situation where there's domestic violence and a partner is white and a partner is POC, mm-hmm. white people will take the side of the white person regardless of the story. And regardless of the motive or regardless of what the person did, mm-hmm. automatically, it's like this.
It's a political issue, it's the same thing.
When it's a political issue, there were more coverage about people in Ukraine than Iran and Palestine.
Right.
Way more. It was all you could see on TikTok.
Just how even they speak about, like, you know, like, white trans people who are, like...
And they didn't vote for... Did you know that Ukraine didn't vote for a ceasefire in Palestine?
Well, of course not.
But for me, that shocked me.
But Ukrainians are so racist. You don't know Ukrainians as like an alt-right.
But it's a very far-right country, right?
They came to Canada and all of that, and they got mad because there's black people here. And I'm like, you were getting killed over there, and you're mad because now you come here, you're safe, but there's too many people of color for you.
But how can you be, but that's the thing. How can you be a nation and ask for people to support you and save you from, like, an invasion? But when it's other countries that are, like, POC, you don't give a fuck.
The same way that white trans people will fight for trans rights but will stay silent for Palestine.
That is the best
because
way to end
when,
the show.
if it doesn't affect them, then it has to affect them personally or be in a book.
Trevor Noah,
The Hunger Games.
Actually, Trevor Noah put it in, like, the most beautiful way on The Daily Show. Trevor Noah would say something along the lines like, the victims have to look like you.
Like, yes, for white exactly. people to you care, have to be able to put yourself in that space. That's why when Katniss is yelling about how President Snow bombed the hospital, white people are like, yeah, Katniss, yeah, if we burn, you burn with us. Yeah, let's go, Hunger Games, let's go. And when it's exactly the same thing happening in Gaza, where all the hospitals are being bombed, it's like, maybe Hamas shouldn't have attacked, you know?
That makes me so mad.
Yeah. Anyways,
so mad.
We're gonna play a couple songs.
I just want to say, like, before we play this song, because that was very heavy. All our love to the people of Palestine. We love you. We support you, and we want you to be free. #FreePalestine.
That's what the song I'm gonna play actually.
Am I saying directly the lyrics of the song?
No, I have to find it. What was it called? It was called "Palestine Will Be." Palestine will be a, and so this is the song that we're gonna leave you with. I love how I said at the beginning of the show that we're gonna do a funny episode,
and it was the most like edgy episode. It's always when I'm on.
You think he's shy? Oh, see, Sloan, you're shy. Okay, so we're gonna play a song, and then after that you have reggae. What's it? Positive vibes. Yes. So feel free, put everything aside in your kitchen.
Follow me at Don't
If you're
Ask
driving, bark on the side of the road and have a little dance party. Okay, it's nice outside today too. Okay, let me play this song.
Check out the Zaddy Show, Black History Month, February 26th at Casa de Popolo.
Yes, because there's an ad playing right now on YouTube, so it's good. Okay. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Black Casper. I'm the host of Transistor Radio, happening every second Thursday of the month at 2 p.m., the show about everything trans. My guest today was Sloan Kushan.
Yay.
And support trans people. Come to the Zaddy's Show, February 26th at 7:30 p.m. at Casa de Popolo. If you look up Zaddy's Show, like Daddy, but with a Z at the beginning, you know what I mean? You will find it. Otherwise, guys, just send us a message, Black Casper, no A's or X's, because I'm non-binary. You probably won't find me either. Just figure it out, okay? Figure it out.
Find us.
Palestine. From the river to the sea. Free. Palestine. You messing with Gaza, you messing with me. Palestine all on my feet. I'm seeing my people deceased. They killing our children and even discreet. These murderers tasting our blood like it's sweet. So one of those days silent been pissing me off. These Hollywood poly give gets it on. Who's the real goal? Cause that's sure ain't LeBron. Khaled is the biggest bitch of them all. Me with the two. Tell the media that we ain't fools. They pushing this narrative like it's a war between two, which simply ain't true. One side is oppressive, the other's oppressed. In Gaza alone, over 2,000 deaths. They call us barbaric, now make it make sense. I'm fighting for Palestine, for all us brethren, I'm gone. From the river to the sea, Palestine. You messing with Gaza, you messing with me. Got these eyes on you. In front of the embassy, 2,000 feet. Got these signs on you. When we show up, they gon' block out these streets. Palestine will be free. I'm seeing no peace in this war. What side are you on? Can't be both. You witnessing genocide, where is the love? Some of y'all really too p***y to talk. I swear on my mother, I'm livid. I can't stop this anger within me. So all of my people are running this city in sovereignty. I pray that we witness the prophecy. From the river to the sea. Don't you be acting surprised. We shouting out free Palestine. This the biggest movement alive. Ain't nobody in my pockets, I'll say what I want. Killing one life is like killing us all. Tell me what side of history you want. It better be Gaza, my dog. From the river to the sea. Palestine. You messing with Gaza, you messing with me. Got these eyes on you. In front of the embassy, 2,000 feet. Got these signs for me. And when we show up, they gon' block out these streets. Palestine will be free.
Children can't resurrect them. Can't forget that we got censored. And for those who didn't speak